This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz Dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today we're talking about oat milk.
That's right. It's Christmas, everybody, and Christmas, as Matthew has written at the top of our agenda, Christmas equals oat milk.
For as long as I can remember. Yep. Like oat milk would come pouring down the chimney, like the blood in the elevator in The Shining.
Yes!
And then we would know it was Christmas. It was especially weird in the 80s when oat milk hadn't been invented yet, but we knew. And then someone would say, here's Johnny.
I love picturing oat milk pouring.
I know. Me too.
Oh, I just imagine Santa up there with a big bag of it, just dumping it.
Santa on the roof with a mischievous grin. Just like. Slimed another one.
God. Oh, my
wow.
God.
And what a beautiful time of year.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
And then the morning, it would be kind of like half
Hanukkah,
dried.
And Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
All the things.
All of the oat milk holidays.
All the oat milk holidays. Yeah.
Wow.
How do you use oat milk for your holiday season?
I mean, I guess like I dip my cookies into it.
I love mulled oat milk. That's what I drink while I'm out caroling.
I just like put like a double shot of vodka into my oat milk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what they call like a white.
Yeah, what is the name
white,
of that drink?
White. If a white Russian is vodka and milk,
and
what is vodka and oat milk?
And Kahlua, not just. Not just, if you ordered a white Russian, it was just vodka and milk. That seems terrifying.
I have never had a white Russian.
Oh, I have. It's good.
Okay, wait, hold on. What is it if it's just vodka and oat milk?
Just vodka and oat milk. It'd be like a white. Like, what's a country that's really associated with oats, I guess? America?
Or Ireland?
Oh, yeah. Like,
okay, so the white Irishman?
That's probably problematic in some way.
Okay.
All right, we'll workshop that.
Okay. All right. Well, Matthew, what's on your memory lane? I mean, other than all your Christmas morning traditions.
Right, I mean, it's mostly that. And like the, how like the crustiness of the rug like a couple days later would really, that's really what felt made it feel like the holiday season to me.
I can't stop crying.
It's good. We haven't had one of those in too long. I first tried oat milk when we did our alternative milks episode years ago and tried like hemp milk and rice milk and stuff.
I was so disgusted during that episode.
Hemp milk was really bad.
I remember that one being a tough one for me. I mean, nothing can compare to the sour cream episode where I think you and I were both on the verge of vomiting.
And for me, nothing can compare to the scary food episode.
I've forgotten. What was... Oh, my scary food was natto, yep. Right? Did I eat any?
Yeah, and mine was egg salad, and I ate like a microscopic amount.
Okay. Anyway, oat milk is one of the few. So I don't know. I have always found the idea of milk when it is used for things that don't come out of an animal. I've always found it to be a little bit off-putting.
Like muscle milk.
Muscle milk is the most off-putting of milks. I should also say that while researching this episode, I encountered the term non-human milks for possibly the first time ever.
And does that just include milks. Like any other mammal and non-animal milks?
Any non-human milk.
Okay.
Yeah. I had not thought of human milk. I think also I usually hear of it as breast milk,
yeah,
which is kind of dumb because that chickens have breasts.
Do they?
Chicken breasts.
Yeah. Okay. I was thinking. Okay. Yes, I understand. I was thinking like
no, they don't have like nipples.
Nipples that like the baby chicks suckle on. And for a second I was like, wait, do they or do they not?
No,
I was honestly unsure.
Mammals.
I know. Now I know.
Anyway, but yeah, I had never heard of it as human milk, which right. also sounds like for some reason it makes me think of like human growth hormone or...
Sure.
Anyway, but yeah, so today we're talking about the non-human milk that
oat milk. And I feel like oat milk was one of our favorites when we did the non-human milks episode.
I think oat milk is, for me, possibly the most delicious of non-human milks.
Yeah, like I would go, yeah, humans obviously at the top. Then
cows.
Yeah, then gorilla, then cow.
Chicken
milk, which is also called muscle, egg white.
Muscle milk.
All right, this is a pretty good ranking.
Okay, but anyway, I think that other than our like plant-based milk episode or whatever the heck mm-hmm. we called that, non-soy milks.
I think we called it alternative milks.
Okay. That like, sounds so metal.
Like the same way like MTV like started calling everything alternative in like 1990.
Yeah, Alternative Nation. Mm-hmm. Did you prefer Headbanger's Ball or like 180 minutes?
120 minutes for sure. If it had been 180 minutes, I would have watched that last hour.
What about Alternative Nation?
I liked Alternative Nation, but 120 minutes was like my show.
Yeah, I think
I was the host of the show.
Clearly it was mine Kendall. Too, given how long. Like in my art, it went on for 3 hours.
No, there was so many things I still listen to today I first heard on 120 minutes.
Do you remember the video for Sober by Tool?
Yes.
God, that is like seared into my brain. I think that I watched that video 100 times the summer before my freshman year of high school.
Yeah, no, I remember like so many videos. This is like just an old man like talking about the old days. But mm-hmm. like, you know, I remember when they debuted the Smells Like Teen Spirit video.
Yes.
I remember when they debuted the video, the Head On by the Pixies. And I was like, I think this new Pixies album is going to be pretty good. And it was.
Don't remember ever seeing a Pixies video.
I mean, they're not really known for their videos, but that's a funny video. Yeah. Like it's just like some goofy like camera tricks basically while they're playing the song.
Do you remember that old Phil Collins song that had all the like the puppets of like Ronald Reagan?
Land of Confusion. Wow.
That was always
I pulled that.
That was like a strangely distressing video. I mean, it was designed to be. But that was like the real early days. That was before 180 or 120 minutes was on.
That was must have been like of the same era as the Sledgehammer.
Yes.
Peter Gabriel.
Yeah,
Peter Gabriel.
Right? You know, I got so tired of REM's Losing My Religion. I'm still tired of it. Like,
I know.
All these years later, I have not recovered from my fatigue.
Yeah, that they showed it several times.
So many times. Okay, back to oat milks. So I have actually been drinking a fair amount of oat milk lately.
Okay.
In the form of, so my spouse really enjoys Starbucks. In part because they really like the various like food and snacks they have there.
Yeah.
And especially during Ash's pregnancy when they have been suddenly hit with like nausea and weird hungers and things. They've spent a lot of cash at Starbucks. When I go to Starbucks, what I like is the iced brown sugar oat milk shake and espresso.
That sounds great.
It's so good. For sure, it has the longest and dumbest name.
Mm-hmm.
It's so delicious. I recommend it with 2 pumps of brown sugar syrup instead of 3.
Okay.
For me, that is the perfect sweetness. It is so good. And the oat milk has a really oaty flavor. Like, it tastes like nourishing.
I feel weird saying the word pumps.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you remember when high heels were often called pumps?
I do. They're not still.
I think that only, you know, if you were alive to watch the Land of Confusion video,
you are
allowed to call them pumps.
I remember the term fuck me pumps.
Oh, my Aunt Millicent would wear fuck me pumps.
Okay, stop. Pause the show. Those are the two most discordant things to like the greatest juxtaposition.
My Aunt Millicent. Fuck Me Pumps. Actually, she called them Fuck Me Heels.
Aunt Millicent.
I know. Isn't that a great name?
Aunt Millicent sounds like she's like 100 years old and is never like said a cuss word. And yet.
No, that was not at all who she was.
I know. I love this about her.
Yeah. It was, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show, but so she passed away when she was in her 40s.
Okay.
This is the sad part of the show. And then her husband passed away a couple years ago. And when he died, I helped to clear out his house.
Yes.
And he was a subscriber to Playboy for decades. And anyway,
probably a lot of fuck me pumps in those
so
pictorials.
So many Playboys in that house. And we sold them on OfferUp. First, Ash got kicked off of OfferUp for selling pornography.
Really?
Yes! Yes! And then we managed to sell them anyway. And some dude rolled up in his Tesla and gave us $200 in cash for like bins and bins full of old Playboys.
That's great. How far into them do you think he's gotten?
Not far.
Okay.
Yeah. But they were in great condition, I got to tell you. Yeah.
I was going to like lay out a pretty gross scenario, so I'll save it.
Yeah, don't. But anyway, my Aunt Millicent, that, you know, like that was her guy.
In what context would she use the phrase fuck me heels?
Oh, she would just be getting dressed and, you know, she just referred to them nonchalantly as her fuck me heels.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, she was absolutely that kind of wonderful person.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to strive to be a little more Millicent.
Okay. Excellent. What about you, Matthew? When did you first try oat milk?
Pretty sure it was during that non-human milks episode. And then, like, you know, I've like occasionally ordered it in a coffee drink since then and always enjoyed it. Like, absolutely of like the alternative milks that they offer. Like, I know, I think almond milk is still very popular at the moment.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about it.
But like oat milk, absolutely my favorite flavor-wise.
Oh, yes. Big time.
You know, it's not... It has like the body that I'm looking for, but it like brings its own flavor that works really well in a coffee drink.
Mm-hmm.
The only other place that I've used it, like I've occasionally like bought it and put it on my cereal when I was like using it for a recipe. And the recipe that I'm thinking of is on the Walks of Life blog.
Mm-hmm.
They have a recipe for Tonton Men, which is a spicy ramen. And the broth is essentially half oat milk, half chicken broth. And then you like spice it up with some like spicy pork. And I was like, is that going to be good? And
yeah,
it's really good.
That sounds off-putting to me.
Can you taste the oat milk? Yeah, but I really liked it.
Well, it's kind of like how a lot of people, there was kind of a trend there for a while of savory oatmeals.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that kind of uses oat flavor to a different end from what most of us.
I never got into savory oatmeal. A teenager of the show December did and would sometimes make themselves for breakfast like steel cut oats with soy sauce, chili oil, ginger, and scallions.
Wow.
It was, and I would like taste it and be like I enjoy one bite of this, but I don't want a whole bowl of it.
Okay. So I want to talk about what oat milk is.
Please, because so, I have like an idea of how it might be made that is probably divorced from reality.
No, I think you're probably right. It is very simple. I mean, made in commercial settings, of course, it's not going to be simple. But I think that most of us could probably make this in our own house. I don't know if it'd be as good. But anyway, basically, it's a plant milk that is derived from taking whole oat grains. Right. And you're kind of extracting all the flavor and some of the body from them with water.
Yeah.
So it has a pretty creamy texture, a mild oat flavor. And apparently, so it's interesting. According to Wikipedia, Like other plant milks, like soy milk, have origins dating back to the 1200s. And I might have thought soy milk would be older.
I didn't research this very far.
I think
this is probably one of these things where we just don't know for sure that's when like references, written references start to appear. But then before that, there are like references to things that could be this or could be something else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Anyway, so some other plant milks are really old. And compared to that, oat milk is a relatively new thing in terms of being known as like oat milk.
Okay.
So what we call oat milk today was developed in the early 1990s by a Swedish scientist whose name Matthew is going to attempt to pronounce.
Rickard Uste.
Okay. He invented oat milk. I always feel like it's weird when you have like a totally normal thing, like oats and water, and somebody gets to claim inventing their union.
Yeah, although at the same time, I'm just happy that no one's saying it was an accident.
Okay, that's right. That's right. It doesn't have that story.
Like it was carrying a sack of oats and it fell into the swimming pool.
Okay. Anyway, so this guy, Rickard Ost.
He tripped and went, whoa!
He, quote unquote, invented oat milk while working as a food scientist at Lund University. This is in Sweden. And he was researching lactose intolerance and sustainable food systems.
Okay.
So this all fits. He then went on to found the company Oatly. In 1993 or 94.
Okay, so, but then no one ever heard of this until like 2016.
That's right.
So like what happened in the meantime?
I don't really know. I mean, I did do a little bit of research into Oatly, and it's even, would somebody go put some more interesting information on the Oatly Wikipedia page? Because
sure.
It's basically just a whole bunch of corporate stuff about like mergers and acquisitions.
I do love it when you talk about mergers and acquisitions.
Anyway, but yeah, I don't really understand what was going on between 93 or 94 and like 2017. When the rest of us all started drinking or hearing of oat milk.
Yeah, I guess it was simmering during that time.
It was. Anyway, oat milk became a big deal in the U.S. Maybe it became a big deal in Sweden long before this. It became a big deal in the U.S. between 2017 and 2019.
Okay.
And as of late 2020, the oat milk market became the second largest plant milk market in the U.S.
I haven't looked at our analytics recently, but maybe we're a big deal in Sweden and just like haven't really broken out into the U.S. market yet.
I think that's probable.
Okay.
Anyway, so as of late 2020, the biggest plant milk market in the U.S. was almond milk.
Okay.
And after that was oat milk, even outselling soy milk, which to me seems really interesting.
These things are like really fatty. Faddish.
They're very
I mean.
Faddish.
Like,
yes.
Like, because there's no way oat milk is going to stay on top or almond milk is going to stay on top. Like, something else is going to happen in a couple of years and we're going to be talking about.
Well, I think it's interesting. So one thing that oat milk does have going for it, and I wonder if at least for some people, this is a deciding factor in their using oat milk. Well, for one thing, I think it tastes better. It has more flavor than almond milk.
I agree.
But also, compared to cow's milk and other plant-based milks.
And udder-based milks.
Oat milk has a relatively low environmental impact because...
Oh, I see that. You put charts in the agenda.
It takes relatively little land and water to produce oat milk. I mean, this is pretty interesting. So here's a chart I found on Wikipedia about water use for different types of milk. So in making cow's milk... to make 200 grams of cow's milk, you need 131 liters of water.
Whoa.
Okay, almond milk, 74.
And 200 grams is like a cup.
That's right. Almond milk, that would be 74 liters.
Right.
So still a lot. Rice milk, 56 liters. Oat milk, 9 liters.
Okay.
Soy milk, 2 liters. So in terms of water consumption, oat milk and soy milk are both pretty smart. In terms of greenhouse gas emissions per 200 grams of milk type, definitely the highest is cow's milk, followed by rice milk,
sure.
Soy milk, and then oat milk.
All right.
Which is like a little less than a third of the greenhouse gas emissions per quantity.
Compared to cow's milk.
To cow's milk.
Okay.
So I think that's interesting to think about. You know, as we record this episode on like an 80 degree day in October in Seattle.
Yeah.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
The other thing that I think is making oat milk more popular right now is that it apparently foams really well, like, you know, with a steamer wand kind of thing.
Yeah, I feel like Teenager of the Show December has confirmed that. Okay. They worked until recently as a barista.
I don't believe anything until Teenager of the Show.
Yeah, no,
December.
No. We all of our facts get run across their desk.
Anyway, it also mixes into other beverages well because it doesn't separate out like olive oil would. I mean, wait, what milks don't mix well into other beverages?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, like oil milks.
Okay. Anyway.
Like whipped butter.
Yeah. Oh, but what about yak butter?
Yak butter.
Bulletproof coffee.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think I've ever tried that. Have
oh,
you?
I have not tried
okay.
that.
Okay. We should probably do an episode, especially now that no one cares about it anymore.
So, Matthew, let's talk about how oat milk is made, and you can tell me whether this is what you thought it was.
Okay.
So, okay, when you've got oat grains, they have to be processed to remove the outer hull, which is the same thing that happens before we ever get them.
Oh, the same thing that happens before we emerge.
Oh, yeah. I have to have my hull reprocessed once a year.
Oh, okay.
It gets really tough and calloused.
I was thinking like more like an amniotic sac.
Yeah.
But
yeah, no. Oat grains, I think most of us probably have not seen them in their whole state because they're indigestible.
And the whole state is groats, right? Or no, a groat is like after it's been hulled but still whole, I think.
I don't know.
Okay.
But anyway, so basically you take your oat... Wow. You take your oat grains, you process them to take off the outer hull. Then the grains are stirred with warm water and ground into a slurry. This sounds to me a lot like oatmeal. Okay. Yeah. Then the slurry is treated...
But I don't think oatmeal is like ground into a slurry. I mean... That's more like cream of oat.
Well, that seems like instant oatmeal
okay.
to me.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Okay, the slurry is then treated with enzymes and heat to create a, quote, thick liquid oat base.
Okay, I don't think I would have guessed the treated with enzymes part.
Yeah, and get this. At this point, other enzymes might be added, or the temperature might even be increased in an effort to extract more nutrients from the solids.
Okay.
Then the liquid is separated from the solids through decanting or filtration or a centrifuge.
Oh, gotta go centrifuge. Why would you use one of the other things when you have a centrifuge?
Seriously. And then other ingredients get added, like fortifying vitamins, sweeteners, flavorings, salt, etc. Because, of course, as you might imagine, oat milk has, you know, lower proportions of some nutrients than cow's milk,
sure.
for instance. So some of those things get added in. And ta-da, basically, at this point, you've got your final product. So you had this, like, slurry that gets treated with enzymes and heat to kind of draw out all the good stuff. Then it gets centrifuged.
Okay.
To separate the liquid from the solid.
All right. So I guess except for the enzyme part, that's basically, I mean, here's how I imagine it happening. That they take the good, you take the bad, you take them both.
And then you add.
And then you add the enzymes of life. did you like watch a video of oat milk being made?
No. Do you know what? Speaking of song lyrics,
yeah.
Yesterday Ash and I were listening.
I already forgot the amazing song lyrics we came up with earlier today.
Yesterday Ash and I were driving and I never listened to the radio, but we were listening to the radio and they played Beat It by Michael Jackson.
Sure.
And it sounds like he says, like, call me Hot Pocket, heat it just right. Doesn't it? You need to listen to it. We listened to it like three times and it's perfect. Call me Hot Pocket,
heat it just right.
It doesn't matter. Except then we're rhyming right with right. But
you could do that in the 80s.
That's true. You could rhyme kiss with kiss if you were Skid Row.
Yes. Which I am.
Yes, you are. You're Sebastian Bach. Okay.
No, my name's Skid Row.
Anyway, Matthew, do you ever buy this stuff? Do you ever drink it?
I bought some this morning. I've bought it to make that ramen recipe, and I bought some this morning because we are doing an episode on it.
When?
Have you heard?
You said you sometimes order it in coffee drinks.
Yeah.
What makes you do that?
Usually because they have put it on the menu board and it sounds good, either in like a particular specialty drink, like the Starbucks one you mentioned that I already forgot the name of, or like, you know, there'll be like a new drink at Ada's Books that's, you know, like the... I don't want to like make up a drink and attribute it to them, but like something with coffee and oat milk. I'm like, that sounds good. And sometimes I'll just like ask for it in a latte because it sounds good.
I've never had it in coffee other than that kind of elaborate drink at Starbucks, which also has cinnamon in it and stuff that plays really well with the flavor of the oat milk. So I'm curious to revisit it on its own again.
I would try just like an oat milk latte because it's really tasty.
Does it feel kind of nourishing the way that oat milk does in the iced brown sugar oat milk shake and espresso? Okay. Cool. This episode is not sponsored by Starbucks, by the way.
Or by Oatly, or by
this episode is actually not
Sweden.
Sponsored by anyone except our listeners, our paying listeners.
That's
so
right.
Thank you, guys.
I mean, you might hear an ad on the show.
Matthew, do you want to get the oat milk out? Okay.
Oh, now I've got Beat It stuck in my head.
God, Oatly has really good packaging.
Really good packaging.
I mean, whoever designed this was brilliant because I kind of wonder how much of their market dominance is the packaging. This packaging is designed to appeal to people, to their demographic perfectly.
Yeah, which is like... aging hipsters like us.
Yeah, I mean, it's like not even particularly well designed in terms of showcasing the product name.
Yeah, that's
it's like
true.
A little hard to find the product name here.
Like they put a hyphen in the product name for unnecessarily.
I know. It's crazy and I love it.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like so definitely the marketing is part of it. I do feel like when we did our original episode, we tried a different brand of oat milk because like Oatly hadn't become like a well-known brand in the U.S. yet.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to pour me some?
Nope. I was going to let you pour yourself.
Oh, I wanted to mention I remembered to shake the box this time, which I know I got in trouble on a previous episode for not shaking the box.
Okay. God, for some reason, I'm kind of grossed out by drinking this.
But the color is tan.
You know, this...
it's really good. I like
it. This is unsweetened, right? Mm-hmm. This unsweetened tastes to me like what sweetened soy milk tastes like.
Okay. I get that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good.
But it does have like an oaty back note.
That's right. I don't think I want to drink that, though.
Well, I don't want to drink a glass of milk either.
That's
and
true.
Like no shade on anyone who does.
No.
Okay. But grow up.
Yeah, that stuff's tasty. I feel like how much was this? This is a quart?
It was like $6.
Okay. All right. So it's like twice as much as milk then, cuz I feel like a half gallon of milk might be six. A half gallon of like organic milk might be $6.
So yeah.
Or is it a gallon of organic milk that would be $6?
No, I think it would be more.
Yeah. Okay.
No. It would be more. So yeah, so it's like twice as much.
I'm so confused by what's written on the side of this. OAT hyphen L Y exclamation mark. God, they have just made this packaging as difficult as possible.
Yeah, they're really like leaning into making you work for it.
Yeah.
And I like it. I'm ready to work for it. And on the top it says shake me, and I did. I shook me.
Okay.
I shook me all night long.
Yes. Me too. I shook you all night long.
Thanks. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah. Okay.
I got a terrible night's sleep. Okay. Right. Yeah, that's a classic song about that like you look at a different way when you're middle aged. You're just like, I don't want to be shaken all night long. I want to be shaken for maybe like 20 minutes and then go to sleep.
I got shaken for like 20 minutes yesterday afternoon.
Okay.
It was pretty good. I slept pretty well.
That sounds great.
Yeah, but I slept later in the day.
Yeah, no, that's the way to do it,
yeah.
I think.
Okay. All right, let's go.
Do we have anything else to say about oat milk?
No,
that it?
We have nothing else.
Okay,
I'm
going to
read
great.
The spilled mail today. From listener Amber. Loved the Bistro Night episode. In our house, we have what my spouse has dubbed Southern Night. I grew up in Georgia, and my spouse grew up in Illinois. I often make what I've always referred to as a veg plate, something that is common in cafes and meat and three places in the South. I do most of the cooking in my house, and each week make a menu. I used to write veg plate for when I planned to make this meal, and my spouse would say excitedly, "Yes, Southern Night!" Since we cook vegetarian meals at home, Southern Night is really a better descriptor for the meal since it's a specific formula of veg and starch. Here's what Southern Night is. Always vinegary greens, always some kind of starch, rice, cornbread, or biscuits, some kind of bean, usually black-eyed peas, and 2 to 3 other vegetables or fruit, such as sautéed carrots, sweet potatoes, stewed and sliced tomatoes, pickled beets, green beans, cooked apples, fried green tomatoes or okra, or mac and cheese. Yes, it's a veg. Corn or squash. Enjoy with hot sauce.
Amber, that sounds delicious.
Amber,
it sounds so good.
Oh my God. Also, this is a lot of different things to make in one night, right?
So
we got the greens, we got a starch, we got a bean, and 2 to 3 other vegetables or fruit.
Yeah,
I think
like it feels doable to me up until I get to the 2 or 3 other vegetables or fruit and it'd be like, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm just going to skip that part.
Yeah.
And it's still going to be great.
Oh, this is fantastic. I feel inspired.
Yeah, me too. This sounds like a great meal. And I don't know. What else can we say?
Maybe 2023 will be the year of Southern Night in our household.
If you have, Matthew. Like, first of all, if you have any spilled mail, get in touch. But if you have a named food night in your house that comes up, like not as a holiday, but just like, you know, just because it's Tuesday and we wanted it to be, you know,
Taco Tuesday? I've never heard of that.
Did you just come up with that?
I just came up with it.
Wow. Yeah. Let's see if we can make that happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you celebrate Taco Tuesday, get in touch. Contact at spilledmilkpodcast.com.
Okay.
Molly, do you have a now but wow?
I sure do. So I'm a little slow on the uptake here, but in August of this year, the podcast Song Exploder started doing this mini series that I'm pretty pumped about. It's called Book Exploder, and kind of like the formula of Song Exploder, where the host Hrishikesh Hirway chooses an artist and a song to kind of unpack and talk through the creative process of.
Yep.
What Book Exploder does is they choose an author and a book, and they break down just a passage from the book, mm-hmm. talk about the creative process behind it. So what's a little different about Book Exploder, other than that it's not about songs, it's about books, is that so it's introduced by both Hrishikesh Hirway and Susan Orlean, the novelist Susan Orlean. And then Susan Orlean does the interviewing. So anyway, each episode features a different book and author. For me, it's like the perfect length podcast. It's like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I like a short one. And as of this taping, so far they had done Min Jin Lee and mm-hmm. Pachinko, Michael Cunningham and The Hours, Carmen Maria Machado and In the Dream House, which if you have not read it, you should. It's a fantastic and wildly innovative memoir. And then Teari Jones and An American Marriage, which is a fantastic. Actually, I've read all the books they've done
nice.
So far. Yeah. So you can find out more at bookexploder.com, or if you already subscribe to Song Exploder, Book Exploder's probably been showing up in your feed.
Yeah. Or just like subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I've been listening to Book Exploder also. It's great. At first, when it was announced, I didn't get what the premise was going to be. And I was like, I've kind of heard these authors talk about their books before and I don't need to like do it again. But this is totally different because they are really taking apart a very tiny piece of the book and showing how it works.
And it's, you know, it's interesting to hear what passage they choose.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily what I might expect. It's not necessarily like a big action passage.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's Book Exploder, and you can find it wherever you find podcasts.
All right. Our exploder is Abby Circatella.
That's right. Abby not only explodes us, but she puts us back together again.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
Do you want to plug your newsletter?
Oh, sure.
I usually do it, but you can do it.
You know, it's been almost a year now since I started my newsletter. I have a Substack newsletter. It is called I've Got a Feeling. You can find it and subscribe at mollyweisenberg.com. Wow, Molly Weisenberg Zot. at mollyweisenberg.substack.com.
Please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts, and chill out with other listeners at reddit.com/r/everythingspilledmilk. It's a supportive community where you can talk about the show.
Yeah. Well, Merry Christmas and all the other winter holidays, everybody. Whatever you celebrate, happy holidays.
And whatever comes down your chimney this year.
Embrace it.
Embrace it.
Let it get crusty. Roll around in it.
It's make this year like the crustiest chimney of all.
Yeah.
I'm Matthew Epster Burton.
And I'm Molly Weisenberg.
Yes. Isn't there a word for being eagle-like? Is it aquiline? No, that's.
Maybe.
I was going for like phallus aquilineous.
Like aquiline vagina.
What would that be? What would that be like?
Without the beak and talons, God.
Fine. Okay, yeah. An aquiline nose is a human nose with a prominent bridge, giving the appearance of being curved or slightly bent. It comes from the Latin word aquilinus, an allusion to the curved beak of an eagle.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah. So vagina aquilina, I guess.
Okay.
Abby, leave all that in.
Oh, God. Okay.
Imagine bold, naturally aged Tillamook cheddar slices melting over a burger. Eating handfuls of thick-cut cheddar shreds straight from the bag. Taking a bite out of an irresistibly bold block of extra sharp cheddar cheese. We know you want to get back to streaming, but wasn't it nice to daydream about cheese for a bit? Tillamook Cheddar. Extraordinary dairy.